Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Well, good evening. I'm Greg. Welcome to my home, Breaking the Silence, here in the wonderful city of Houston, Texas. And I had to pull my blinds down because the sun was coming in so bright. But just as soon as it starts setting and it goes back behind the buildings there at the Texas Medical Center, I will raise those blinds during the commercial break so we can see the beautiful colors that come in through the evening here in Texas. We'd love to have you get involved tonight. There's a couple ways. We're having a little bit of trouble with Facebook getting on, but we're going to try to update that and connect on that through another way here just shortly. But you can get involved right there on BBS Radio and then all kinds of different sites all the way around the world, all kinds of different platforms. Or you can call in at 888-627-6008 if you have a question or a comment and you want to jump in and talk to our guest tonight. And I'm excited about our guest tonight because it's going to be part two of an unbelievable story that is going to just lay out tonight. It's going to be really, really good. As we go into this coming week, we are getting ready to experience 4th of July. And, you know, I watched, and at some moments in the evening, in horror at our presidential debates the other night, shaking my head and going, oh my, what's our world coming to? What's happening? What are we doing? We can surely do better than this. What's going on with everything? And I don't get political very often. I try to stay away from it. But I do understand and recognize that we live in, to my opinion, the most awesome country in this world. The freedom that we have, the freedom that we enjoy, even though it's not exactly the way you think it ought to be on certain days, or you don't think you ought to have the freedom to be able to do this or whatever. When you look at it on the scope of where we're at in the world and the other countries that are surrounding us and on the other side of the world, we are truly a free nation, and we ought to never forget that. So this week, as we get closer to the 4th of July, remember to thank a veteran. Remember to salute the flag and stand up when that national anthem is played or sung at a ball game or at an event. I think any time that we start desecrating and looking down on and only talking negative about anything, but especially our country, we need to remember where we came from and where we are. And thank goodness we're not in some other place. But we need to thank God for our freedom. And in that freedom, there's a lot of times we mention freedom. You know, do you have financial freedom, or do you have independent freedom, or do you have sexual freedom, or what are all these different freedoms we have? But what about, I'm just thinking about this right before we came on the program, what about real emotional freedom? How much of that do we really possess? And how do you get that if you would love to be able to obtain emotional freedom? And I just wrote down a couple of things real quick. I want to just blow through these really fast. And then we're going to bring our guest in because I really want her to have the bulk of this hour. But the first thing, and I think she's going to be able to resonate with this. I want to hear her opinion on this when she comes on. One thing that gives me and allows me to experience emotional freedom is that I have to drop off and unchain myself from bitterness and fear. And in that, I have to be able to understand and forgive people. That's probably two of the things that cause the most damage and robs us of our happiness, causes us more pain than anything, and causes even depression. I need to release that bitterness. I need to release and offer forgiveness to other people, not only to me, but the people that may not agree with me, but then ultimately, and this is so hard, so I don't just say this like it's rolling off the end of my tongue and it means nothing, but to consider offering forgiveness to the people that hurt you, to the people that abuse you, not for their benefit, but for yours. And when I started doing some of those elements, and some days it's baby steps, believe you me. But when you start doing that, you start feeling literally the weight and the chains being dropped off and cut off of your emotional baggage that we all carry. In my second book, I talk about having an emotional trunk that is just crammed full of things. And when you're going on a new trip, the first thing you do is start packing your bags. You want to get rid of that, all that old stuff, all that old weight, and start putting in new things that you're going to be carrying with you to the next destination. You don't want to carry around stuff that happened to you 20 years and still damn that person and let it affect the way you're doing and acting today. Because if you do that, it is allowing that person to continually hurt you over and over and over. The only way to regain and express and experience true emotional freedom is cutting that loose. I let it go. And sometimes we pick it back up, but if you can learn how to release it, it's going to bring you emotional freedom, and you're going to enjoy that and feel that release immediately. I think self-talk and affirmation is huge. I think when we put positive stuff inside of our head, inside of our life, inside of our day, when you read books and look at the internet, what are you watching? What are you reading? What are you taking in? And I think positive affirmations, putting in good things into my system, into my brain, only benefits me. And it's those little seeds that will eventually grow roots that will grow something of what I'm putting in. Is it good stuff or bad? Is it wheat or it tares? Is it you know, weeds or good hay? So what is it that I am planting inside of me that I want to grow? Because that negativity will end up coming out in you, whether you admit to it or not. I also fail to do this, but every now and then, just take time to celebrate yourself. I've been watching the last few minutes the track and field Olympic qualifications that the United States is having right now, getting ready to go into the Olympics in Paris, and which is awesome. And getting to watch those people when they cross the finish line in first, second, or third place, because that's the three places they get to go. They're celebrating what they have done and worked for all of those years, through all of those hours of training and workouts and early morning things. All that long work is starting to become reality. Every now and then, we just need to sit back and celebrate where we are right now. Thank God I'm not where I was 10 years ago, 5 years ago, even 5 days ago. Sometimes I need to celebrate. Hey, I'm making steps, progress, maybe not too many, but thank goodness I'm not where I am and where I was. And when I do, I need to celebrate myself. And in that same thought process, I need to learn to love myself. We sometimes are our hardest critic, and change that a little bit. Take time to love yourself and speak life into who you are. And when you speak life, you need to be able to practice gratitude. Literally write down, just try it this week, 3 things each day that you're thankful for. Just take time somewhere in the day. I'll prefer mornings, but or before you go to sleep or whatever, but sometime during the day, write down three things that you're thankful for right now. Because if you don't, you're going to end up becoming observant of all those negative things, and you overlook the things like the sun that's going so bright behind me. I'm thankful for that sun. I'm thankful for the summer months. I'm thankful for the heat. Why? Because I came from the Midwest and I was used to snow on certain. I don't have that in Houston and never will, I don't think. But I'm thankful. And finding two or three things each and every day to be thankful for, show that gratitude and write that down and put that right up here every day. And I think that's important. Take time to take care of yourself, to be friendly to yourself, laugh, play more. Don't be your nose to the grindstone and work yourself silly. Take time to laugh. And whatever that is, to be able to get that belly laugh and that gut laugh, is so, so important. And try to eliminate all fear in your world if you can. And then, personally, I think every now and then, personally, every day, I think we need to cut out negative media. I think we need to cut out the negative side of all the news that we watch anymore and detox from this periodically because this thing will eat your lunch if you're just doing this over and over and over. Anyway, that's just a few thoughts that I have, and I hope you, I could use that as we go into this 4th of July week in celebrating our country's freedom. What an awesome country, the United States of America. With that thought in mind, I want to bring in our guest tonight, Eugenia Valencia. So, TJ, bring her beautiful face on in here, right here, so she can hear me talk about her for a second. She was born prematurely in a Russian prison and literally. Set aside to die. And somewhere down that process, a nurse heard the cries of that infant and rescued her, but only to deposit her, put her in an orphanage that began a domino of places and events and traumas of neglect. Hunger, violence, abuse. And she's going to tell us about maybe even more of that. And she shared with that the first part of her life when she was here a few weeks ago. And then one day, a new girl came into the orphanage and she was somebody different. And she was carrying a Bible. And that literally has changed our guest life for the rest of her life. And even impacted her mom because of that knowledge of what that Bible had for her. We're going to talk about that and so much more. I want to welcome to the program tonight. And it's an honor to have somebody so educated with two master's degrees, and you're probably getting more degrees than what your walls are going to be able to hold one day. But welcome to the program, Eugenia Valencia. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for having me back, Dr.
Well, it's
Williams.
great to have you. I appreciate you being here and just being willing to share your story. How do you resonate with my little intro this morning about, let's just jump in with forgiveness. Was forgiveness a hard thing for you with what you went through because you had a lot of people in line that hurt you, correct?
Correct. I think forgiveness for me was the hardest step
Yeah.
in my life, even walking with God, because when I started my relationship with Christ, when I became a believer, the first thing was in my heart, I was very rebellious against everything, what happened to me, especially the pain, the abuse, everything that in the past, forgiveness was the hardest part. And it took me years and years to be able to even think about it, even think about what happened or the abuser and how would I be able even to forgive that. So over time, the more my relationship developed with God, God would just quietly whispering to me, trust me. And there's one time I was just like, no, God, I'm not going to share with you all of this pain. Let me tell you my story. How can you even allow these things to happen to me? And over time, with his promises and reading your word, God would just continue working in my heart. And over time, I would be just bringing one abuser, said God, okay, I forgive this person. I forgive this person. I forgive this person. Even though it was so hard, but I realized the last abuser that I ever forgave, it was just like God's light was in my heart immediately. Because this the forgiveness that I experienced, it was not only for me, but also be able to forgive these people. And like you were mentioning earlier, to let it go. And it was beneficial for me, just so I can continue walking with Christ and being able to be the forgiver of people. And of course, it was painful, but I realized that was the first thing I needed to do, and that this is the first step to my own healing.
When you talk about forgiveness, did you have any issue accepting forgiveness from your Savior and also understanding, because I dealt with, I'm not worthy to be forgiven. I can't even forgive myself, let alone anybody else, because there's things that I do wrong all the time. Did you ever battle with that type of forgiveness too?
Yes, because when I became a believer, I was very rebellious with my relationship with God. I did not even trust God himself. Like, why would I trust you when so many people failed? And it was just slowly his promises, his words, going to church, fellowshipping with other believers helped me to kind of navigate the pain. But the forgiveness, it came, forgiving myself came after I forgave my abusers because I felt it's all kind of connected, all the steps, and be able to forgive myself was the hardest part too. And again, all of this took years and years. It's not like a just one time and sitting and you just forgiving everybody. I was mad at God. I was so mad. Like, why would you allow these things to happen to me in my childhood, in my teenage, and even now, I still struggling with this forgiveness. And so again, healing took years for me to come to that point where I felt complete freedom.
When was there something that happened, or in your belief system, or in that fellowship with your Savior, with God, that anchored that, wait, yeah, everybody that I've got close to, God's let me down, and you're going to too. Did something happen to where you go, hey, wait, I now do lean into you. I do depend on you and trust you with everything because my heart's very protected right now. And I don't want to hand it off to anybody because you may mess it up. And God was no different. How do you deal with that?
For me, it was more like the attributes of God that helped me to kind of rely on Him. Every time I would hear promise from God, I am your Father, I am your Savior, I am the one who rescued you and took you out of this land of bondage. So many things God would continue promising and just whispering to me through His word. And it just helped me to be able to trust someone. And of course, even though I didn't experience God like personally, as far as like face to face, but through the word, through church, it helped me to get connected to Him and experience that He's real. That first of all, He is real and He is able to heal me. But even having this relationship with God, I was still very distrusting with people all around me. This
Yeah.
is was just that I was felt isolated. I could not trust anybody. But if I had God, that's all I needed. Because if over time, when I started to develop closer relationship with Him, I realized that He's getting closer to me as well. And of course, it took me a while to trust to anybody, And most of so many years, I was just by myself and God. That because I have to go through the healing myself before being able to trust someone else.
Did you have issues with your mom, forgiveness of that in the situation that you were in or placed in when you were born? Of course, you have no control on that. And then even with your father, because I don't believe we ever talked about your father. Was there any issues with parents and that forgiveness factor? Did that play anything in your mental, emotional world?
It did a lot of time when I after I become Christian, my first mission became to bring this good news to my mother. And every time I would come to her house, God would just kind of like block me and say, in which he would just whisper to me that she's not ready. This is my battle and just trust me. And I remember, even though I was on fire for God, I really needed to share the good news with her. If I'm saved, I want everybody to be saved. And my mother became the most important mission to me. And so it took me 3 years to wait for God to open the door. Because every time I come home to come visit my mother, she's not ready. She's shut down. She's not ready to receive God's word. And there was one time when I graduated and went to the missionary school, and I was on the bus to go to the youth ministry. And that's the first time the first voice I heard, first time Holy Spirit was whispering to me, now you need to go to your mom. And I was so busy. I was like, no, I have so much agenda. I need to go to youth ministry. I was already on the way. And then the second voice of Holy Spirit came again. It's time. And I was already, no, I kind of just decided to communicate like I'm busy. But the third time when the Holy Spirit whispered to me, you have to go visit your mom. So I got off the bus and came to my mother's apartment, and I rang the doorbell, and she opens the door and she said, how did you know? I said, no, what? I was about to kill myself.
Wow.
And this is the moment when I knew that God prepared her heart. As I walked in, she was ready to receive God's word. This is the first time she accepted Christ. And I remember clearly she fainted. And when she got up, she literally just started to, just say, it felt like I was in heaven. I don't feel this burden anymore. It felt like something happened to me. And this is when I knew that she accepted Christ. So after this, of course, forgiveness with my mother took also some years because, even though I tell her, I forgive you, mom, it's okay. I know things happen. But even today, she's not able to forgive herself. And as we started to have Bible studies and prayer time together, I knew that God started to work in her heart. And our relation has been grown since then, so much closer. But this was time that was perfectly ordained by God, where she was able to receive Christ. And not
How
only her.
much weight does that put on you to believe in a huge way, divine connections, interactions, and timing? He set that up for you to knock on that door, ring the doorbell at the very moment she was thinking about killing herself.
Yes. I feel like the more at that time I was a believer maybe like for 5, 6 years. And I came from a missionary school. I was so on fire. It's just those moments when you just feel so connected to the Holy Spirit. And that's the moment I felt when the prominently Holy Spirit was speaking to me. And it was not just once, but 3 times. And I could not I would just wanted to obey God and follow. And even if did nothing happen at that point, but I knew that God was preparing her heart over time or over these years. And this was the moment when God was clearly loudly speaking to me, it's time for her to visit your mom. And she was
Wow.
ready to receive the gospel at that time.
Unbelievable. In that forgiveness portion, did you literally go through each person that hurt you, and how they did, and did you process it that way, or did you just try to blanket, okay, everything that happened when I was in this orphanage, or anything that, was there certain people that really were harder to offer that forgiveness to?
For me, it was more like whatever person God would bring to my mind to forgive. It's not like, oh, I have lined up people I need to forgive. It was more like, okay, I'm bringing this person to your mind. Just pray over him. And of course, memories would flash. Of course, everything would just, the pain that will come with them, the trauma. And I would be like, God, how? Why would I even forgive this person? Why did you even bring this person to me? And And the more I would just, being humble before God, okay, I will start praying for this person, but I'm not ready to forgive. I am not ready to even go that direction. But then God would continue working in me through his word, just reminding, because I would never be able to experience this freedom if I'm not letting this person go from my life. Because this would be constantly on my mind. It's like I needed freedom for myself. Even though I didn't know what this person is, I don't know what's happening to this person, but all I needed is like, I needed to move on. I needed to move on with the relationship with God. I need to move on with my life. I can't just keep holding on to this. I'll just rather forgive with God's help and let it go and move on. And that helped me to go from one person to another person and just to let it go all of these abusers that God would remind me. And I remember clearly when I was able to forgive the last abuser, that was just like God's life was just illuminating my heart. It was just like complete freedom from the pain. And even now, I feel like also God erased the memories of it because I was able to forgive. When you forgive, you let it go, you don't even think about it because it's taken. It's on the cross. God took it, and I'm relieved and I can move on freely with the relationship with God and
Wow,
people.
that's beautiful. Tell you what, we're going to take our commercial break at the bottom of the hour right now. And on the other side of this, I want to talk a little bit about your teenage years in your teenage life. I also want to talk about your addiction and how you got through that. And then getting you, how did you get to the United States and how that process was all worked? We're going to talk about that and a whole bunch more. Hang with us. We'll be right back after this short commercial break. We'll be right back.
From HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers, A Child Called It, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
All right, good evening and welcome back to Breaking the Silence. We have with us tonight Eugenia Valencia. And Eugenia, what are you out doing right now? You're out speaking all around and telling people your story, and you're in the process of getting that book edited. And how's life treating you right now before we go back into some of the other story of your life?
So right now I'm writing my book, so it's finished, but it's in the editing process. So hopefully it will be published very soon. I don't have an exact date, but it's getting there, and I'm really excited about this book
Have
coming
you
out.
got a title for it yet?
Not yet. I have few titles in my mind, and I'm finalizing the name of it. It's coming. I don't want to reveal the name yet until I really decide which one.
And when that comes out, what would just get you more excited than anything? Are you wanting to just tell your story? Are you wanting people to understand who you are and where you came from and what you endured? Or are you wanting it to be that seed of hope for people? What's the ultimate goal of this book?
I like how you phrase it, seed of hope. I want this book to be more like inspirational, even though I will talk a lot about my story and my background, but also the probably half of the book will be about the hope and healing and more like a spiritual lessons in it. But just to give something to people to hold on to. And especially when people went through trauma, for me, the biggest thing that God is able to heal any trauma, any abuse, any pain. So I will focus a lot on how to overcome, and how to succeed during the healing journey.
Fantastic. I think it's going to be a huge, huge hit. There's going to be people standing in line to be able to get that book. I know they will.
I hope
Tell me
so.
about what it was like, what life for you when you were a teenager, because you were in Russia at that point, right?
Yes.
Yeah, in the orphanages until what age?
So I graduated from orphanage when I was 16 years old,
16.
and me and Julie, who the first time told me about God, we parted the ways, and I got really mad at God. I got mad at Julia that I thought we're gonna continue journey together. So somehow, at least she would be my support system. But I remember that once I graduated, I felt so free from the orphanage system. I felt free from all these rules and just these walls of the orphanage. And I told God, I don't need him. I can do everything on my own. I'm good. I can be independent. I can do whatever I want with my life. And I remember I just put, it's like literally I put God aside. I don't need him. I can deal with my life on my own. And that's when the journey, horrible journey, started for me. Of course, I got into a lot of addiction, but prior to addictions, there was an attempted assault of me, and which really terrified me and paralyzed me with fear for a long time. And I was afraid of men. I was afraid of people after that incident, because it's completely traumatized me. And I remember after that incident, I got addicted to alcohol because I really needed just to fill the void, and just the pain that I was experiencing at that time was so immense. And so alcohol, I thought, was the only option for me. And it was partying and addictions, from one addiction led to another addiction. Not only alcohol, but all kinds of partying and clubs and just a 24/7 party. It was just so awful. I got into romantic relationships with women because I was terrified of men for a while. And eventually I did become bisexual. And of course, eventually I was just knowing that I knew that my life was going down really, really rapidly. Not because of addictions, but also the amount of alcohol I was consuming was just really ruining my health. It was so poisoned with alcohol. I remember I couldn't even walk. And later, after I got into pornography addiction, that was huge because it's completely ruined my brain. It delusioned me, and it just was so bad. And that's the only thing I knew at that time. There was no mommy and daddy who would tell you, "Oh, Eugenia, what are you doing? Stop." I was on my own. All of this time, I was so alone in this life, and there was no support system. And so I was just going wherever wind blows, basically. And to the point where I was so suicidal. I was planning my own suicide. I was so done with life. I knew that I was in immense bondage, and the life was closing on me. I felt like in complete darkness. And all these people, addictions, all of this just became even more. And to the point, like I was so done with life. At the pit, at the bottom of my life, and I knew that tomorrow, like, when I was sitting and planning suicide, I would be dead. It was complete brokenness, loneliness. Everybody disappeared. You're on your own, and there is no ray of hope. So that was the biggest thing for me, where all these addictions led me to the brokenness and to the end of my life, to the point where I knew that tomorrow I'm done. I will be gone forever. And that's when I saw the dream that night that completely changed my life. When I saw the girl, Julia, who first time told me about Jesus, And of course, next day when I got up, my only thought was to find her. I really needed to find her because she would be the only hope. And I knew that, the rest of the story. But later when I'm meeting Julia, she knew that I was coming. She knew, and because she'd been praying for me for 2 years. And of course, after that, the battle continued. Even after I became Christian, I was relapsing many times, many, many times. It's not like, oh, God healed you and you're good now, you're holy. No, it was a battle. Every single day, I was still in some addictions until God really took hold of me and started to sanctify me and putting me on the right path. But it's also a choice that I will have to make every single day. And replacing the lies that I believed all this teenage life, during all my teenage life, I started to replace with truth, and it helped me to walk straight with God. So that I think that my teenage life was the most horrible that I, because not only the addictions but also abusive relationships that I was in. There was a lot of sexual violence, a lot of people that were able, that abused me and stuff. It just all things accumulated together. But looking back, I just knew when I became a Christian and when God saved me, it's like he took me out of the fire. Otherwise, if not God, I would be dead a long time ago. And even bringing out this dead girl who'd been, it's hard sometimes. But I know that God brings out for purpose to for me to see who I was and who I am today. Because all this is po was possible only with God for me. Because there was no other people. There were no people I can rely on or hope on. It was just him. And it helped me a lot to find the truth. And especially the Bible verse that really helped me to keep going when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. And I would be standing before God and I would be debating with him. I would tell him, show me, prove me that you are the way. Show me and prove me that you are the truth and the life. And I would have, complete arguments with him because I could not trust anybody. And over time, God would whisper to me, I will never forsake you or abandon you. I am your father. And all of these promises, the more he was proving himself that he is able to change, that was phenomenal for me. That was a first person, or, I was able to trust.
So how do you respond to somebody that's listening to the program right now, a teenager, let's say, that feels like tonight's the end? There's just nothing left in me. I have nothing to live for. I have nobody in my world. I'm an addict. I don't have a job. I mean, everything is just as worse as it can be. What hope do you have to offer and to prove to them that, hey, wait, this is what I want you to think about right now. If you had a chance to talk to them one-on-one, what would you share with that person right now, that teenager that was you, 16, 17 years old?
I would just remind that person how beautiful and wonderful that person created, first of all, that that person has value. He's not just coming through this life existing. This person has a purpose. And this person is so valuable to God. They're valuable. And this person can do so much more in this life than abiding in all these addictions or whatever the person is going through. I would tell the younger myself that there is hope. There is hope. Even though in the darkest, lowest point of your life, there is a way. There is a way. And for me, it was God. That was the only way. And so I would be probably gently pointing this person back to Creator, because only Creator knows what this person needs. Of course, I can point him to counseling or psychologists and all kinds of rehab centers, but the biggest thing, the biggest hope is Christ. I mean, because Creator knows you, he created you for the purpose. And for me, that was the biggest thing. I needed to know what is my identity, what is my value in this life, why I was created, what is the meaning of life. So the more questions I had, and I'm sure this teenager has so many questions as well, like why am I here? So I would gently point this person back to the Creator, whether I needed to pray with him, whether I need to support him, meet for coffee. My ultimate goal will be bringing him back to God.
Thank you, Yvonne. Something happened to my computer. Shut down. Okay, so in that process with you, Eugenia, and you discovered your purpose. When was that? And do you feel right now that you are in the exact center lane of your purpose, heading where God has designed you to be?
Yes. I really love this question because it took me a while to find my purpose, even having a relationship with God. But I think the first purpose or my identity in Christ, when I discovered that, it was when I became Christian and I was able to share about God with someone, like sharing the gospel. And when I saw for the first time this person is crying and needing God, like in a full repentant heart, that's when I realized I want to tell about God to everybody now. It was just so inspired me because I was able to find my identity, my freedom in Christ. And how can I not share this good news with others? So the more I saw people and students at that time when I was in university coming to Christ and just really falling for him and just really, you know, embracing him, I realized I'm just ready to live for this purpose for the rest of my life. You know, because it was so beautiful. And I knew that the biggest, you know, value and for God's kingdom is, you know, the souls of people. So that's when I discovered the purpose and the goals for my life.
And I'm not trying to sound like an arrogant American. Was to coming to the United States part of your ultimate dream? Was that always something that was in the back of your mind? You wanted to be over here in the United States?
So when I was a little girl, we had the Swedish people come into our orphanage and they would foster us in Sweden for summertime and sometimes Christmas. So I remember, even though we lived in the Soviet Union, very poor orphanage, and when these foreigners came, they had these bright jackets, beautiful backpacks. I mean, they just brought so much joy and color. And when I saw the first time a foreigner who's speaking another language from a different culture and different country, it just mesmerized me. I would just fell in love with a foreigner. And since then, I started to dream. I really going to get out of this country. I don't know how. But I was dreaming to marry a foreigner, to travel the world and just, you know, leave Russia completely. And over time, when I was in a teenage age, before I left God, I know he whispered to me, I am able to fulfill all these dreams for you. But again, at that time, I completely walked away from God into all of these addictions. But then he kept reminding me, even after I got saved, that this dream is still possible. And after I became Christian, maybe 7 years walking with God, I was thinking about marriage, but I was completely, you know, just dedicated to God, serving him, mission trips and all of that. And later God was just whispering, don't you remember this dream that you wanted to leave this country? And I met my husband online on a Christian website, and I just knew for the fact that he was the right person. And after that, we started to communicate. He came to Russia a few times, met my mother, met my pastor. And in my heart, I knew this is the man I want to marry. And after we got engaged, I moved to, I came to US, we got married, and then we moved to California, where we were stationed. But I just looking back, it's just so interesting in me being a little girl dreaming all of this, and God reminded me, but then I walked away from him. And now just living this dream, what he fulfilled, he's proving again himself that he is able to do anything in my life. And now I would say whatever purposes I had, whatever identity I was looking for, even as a teenager, even through all this bondage and darkness, God was able to bring me out and put me on the right path.
And his dreams are always bigger than yours, correct?
Yes, that's so true. That's so true.
So if you had to predict, not predict, but maybe dream a little bit with me, 5 years from now, what are you hoping to be doing? What, where do you hope to be at in this walk, in this discovering your voice, and in the writing and presenting and speaking? Where, what's in the back of your mind? This is what I want to do in 5 years. I want to be here.
First of all, like we talked about the book, I would like the book to be published and potentially, would love to be a speaker and speak about the freedom of God. And I mean, my biggest passion is, of course, mission trips and doing mission work, but also the other side of it is bringing freedom from the addictions, from where I was and how God was able to heal me. I really would love to become that motivational speaker where I can, with God's help, I can bring this freedom to other people who are still struggling and who are still in this darkness. So this is my biggest dream because I just can't be quiet where God brought me, and where He's leading me. I just want to all other people, millions and millions of people, experience the same freedom because He's able to heal anyone from anything.
Does that give you satisfaction, gratification, that good inside feeling of when you get the opportunity to speak about the negative things, but now you've turned them and repackaged them into beautiful things because you're helping other people? How does that make you feel?
So all these things I'm speaking to you today was very hard for me. Like I said,
Yeah.
I was keeping the door shut for many, many years. And only this year I was able to open up and just talk freely about addictions where I was, because people knew me, know me, one person who I am. But here I'm revealing all of this stuff, all this trauma, all this abuse. But also, the more I speak about it, the more I receive healing. And I noticed that how God started to open more doors for me to share the story, to share this blessing. So not only I feel satisfaction from this, but I feel like this is God's calling. This is where He's calling me, because there's so many people still in that bondage. And I would love to be God's instrument in His hands and just bring this freedom to these people, because He's the only one who can save.
And there's no doubt you're going to do that, and you're doing that now. Has it surprised you with the response from the people? Did you think that they would embrace or push away? Or what was your feelings when you started to share, hey, wait, my sexuality has been debatable, my addictions have been pretty bad, I've gone through a lot of things. When you start sharing that, and you're becoming so vulnerable, how did you get received by those stories?
I think the people who knew me closer, I would say most people, some people were surprised because I never shared these things.
Yeah.
Some people even backlashed in a bit, like, oh, really? Wow. But most of the majority, I would say 90%, it was like, wow, this is amazing what you're
Yeah.
sharing, because I've been going through the same thing. I just realized how many more confessions I started to receive from my friends, from coworkers, and from other people that I shared with, even a church. It's like, wow, being able to be the person who can freely talk about it and be vulnerable. I was ready to be vulnerable, but are you ready to be vulnerable and share what you're struggling with? And I just noticed a lot how people would just come, hey, Eugenia, I'm struggling with this too. Can you help me? Can you help me with this and that? So this helped me a lot to not only find validation in Christ, but also find like that God is using me for His purpose. And whatever it is, I don't want to be hiding anymore. I'm not going to just hide and just forget and just suffer in that pain. I would just come out and say, hey, I'm struggling with that too. Let's talk about it. Let's meet for coffee, and let's discuss it. So the more I have these meetings, the more I share it, the more I realize that God is using me more and more for people, and especially for their healing journeys.
That's great. We only have very, very little time. Let me just throw this last question out at you. After you walk off the stage, make a presentation, are people waiting in line to tell you their stories? And what's that make you feel like?
I would say at first people may be a little bit shocked and like, oh, wow, that was too transparent. That was, that's a hardcore information. But eventually, what I realized, once it settled in their hearts, once they analyzed their life, like, hey, I'm actually struggling with that too. So I noticed a lot, I need to give time to people before they process whatever they are going, whatever struggles they, whatever addictions they're going through. And once they are ready to come forward, because they saw me being vulnerable and being brave enough to talk about it, now it's what's going to be their response. And most of the time they're like, okay, you know what? I need to confess. I'm struggling with this too. And when I see these confessions, when I see people coming forward, this is when I'm realizing that my story matters. The story of abuse and neglect and horror and or this orphanage and addictions, whatever it was, God is bringing something good out of it. And the more I see that, the more light transcends through me to be able to bring this healing to them, because I'm just amazed what God is doing in their lives. You know, using one person who is, you know, brave enough to talk about it. But again, it took me years and years just to come to this point. I would rather just be comfortable and shut down. But God was always asking me, are you willing? Are you willing to open up and share what you've been through so you can heal, bring healing to many other people?
Fantastic. Well, thank you. Unbelievable. I just appreciate you being here so much. When you have the book and it's getting ready to come out, you know, the release date and the title and all that, would you please come back on the program again? I want to be the first one to be able to say, get this book tonight. It's on sale tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock or tonight at 8 o'clock, whatever. I want to be the one that's helping you push that to hit that bestseller list, because there's no doubt in my mind it's going to be a bestseller. No doubt in my mind. God's going to take this and take you places you've never dreamed of. And it's going to be awesome.
Thank you.
I want to be one of your cheerleaders, if that's all right.
Yes, I would love that. And actually, I wanted to ask if I could come back so we can,
anytime,
so I can share about the book. Yes.
I get so much response anytime. When I told people today, hey, this is who we have tonight. It's all good. I'll make sure I listen. This is awesome. Thank you so much.
That's awesome.
Thank you for being
Thank
with
you
us.
So
and
much.
We'll have you
Thank
back
you.
Soon. I promise.
Thank you.
As always, I like to end the program each and every week. And I tell you what, Eugenia said it all the way through this whole past hour, that there's hope. No matter what you're in, God's got his hand on that and directing you, protecting you. And we think sometimes, where did you go? And in reality, he's behind the curtains, watching every step and controlling every divine intervention and keeping us protected in more ways than we can even fathom. So no matter what you're dealing with this very moment, no matter what addiction that you're battling right now, no matter how you may think that your life is absolutely worthless, two things I want you to think about tonight. One, give Christ a chance. Give him an opportunity to prove to you his love. And two, never give up on hope. Never, ever give up on hope. It's always there. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. And thank you, Eugenia, for being with us tonight. May you join us next week now for another live edition from Houston, Texas, for Breaking the Silence. Have an awesome 4th of July and safe 4th of July holiday. God bless and good night.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.